was about two. And over that time, you hear lots of stories, don't you? Lots of good preacher stories, modern-day parables. And one of my faves is of a man walking around a building site, and probably most of you have heard this before, walking around a building site, and he approaches one guy, and he's carving some stone for some glorious archways. And they say, "So what are you up to?" So he talks about, you know, the nature of cutting fresh stone and different things, and he's proud of his work. And he moves on to the next person. This person is putting the leading for the stained glass windows, and he's working on that intricately. And they ask him about the window, and describes the window, and is really excited about it. And he goes through a number of other. There's a carpenter putting frames in and getting things ready for doors to go in. And he talks about what he's doing and the different kinds of wood and what trees these are from and so on. And then he goes to a guy just sorting out a pile of bricks. And he said, "Well, I'm moving these bricks from over to here and to here." So the guy says to him, so what are you up to?" And he said, "Well, I'm building a cathedral." And the point is, of course, that sometimes we lose sight of the big picture. Sometimes we lose sight of the big thing that we're doing, and it's important every now and again to re-broaden our horizon, to paint a new picture of the big thing that God's doing. I want to sort of come on the back of last week. I thought Chris and Joel did such a good job at feeding back from the survey that we'd done about community and about how we grow the community. And so I want to talk about the community this morning and what it's about. And it's really important in amongst figuring out what we want and what we desire from a survey. It's important that we realise that this community is not, well, let's get together with people that are like us, like-minded people, and see if we can get along. Let's meet with people. Let's do things in a way that works for me. We want to hear what works for us, but we're doing something a little bit bigger than that, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? And I sort of want to encourage us this morning to sort of understand the bigness of what it is that we're doing. Do you know what I mean? We might talk about, in these coming months, we might talk about small groups and different things. I want us to understand the bigness of what that is. It's not a small thing. It's this community that we're referring to is the kind of community where it isn't like a club. We're all interested in this, so we'll get together. Do you know what I mean? This is the kind of community where a terrorist could get... have an encounter with God and then be part of it. You know, Saul, the terrorist, persecuting Christians, was then in a small group with the said Christians. Do you know what I mean? And how does that work? Because God's doing something is the point, isn't it? And he puts people together and builds people up. And it's a community full of flawed people. We've all heard someone say, you know, if you find the perfect church, don't go to it because you'll ruin it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's full of flawed people that do flawed things. But somehow, like the man moving the bricks, we're building something glorious and magnificent. And we've probably all heard people say, you know, well, you know, I like Jesus, but I'm not so keen on church. Do you know what I mean? And probably most of us have probably every now and again thought it, felt it. Do you know what I mean? Probably said it. I might be one of them. Do you know what I mean? Because church isn't always easy. But this community is a glorious thing. And I want us to sort of look at the picture that Paul paints in Ephesians. It's in Ephesians 2, verse 19. I should have given you this, Joel. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God's Spirit lives. So I want us to kind of get into this picture that Paul's painting with words. And he starts off by talking about your passport's changed. You're no longer foreigners. You were outside of God's people, and now you're inside. Do you know what I mean? Your whole identity, who you are, has been transformed. When you were saved, your identity, your nationality even, although we keep our culture and our identity, but who you are has fundamentally changed. We've got this new identity, and that this new identity, this new nationality, if you like, is made up of all kinds of people. It isn't like uniformity. It isn't just people like you. It is made up of all sorts of people. And one of the things that I feel really we pray about more than probably many things. Particularly those of us that are involved in the granary work during the day and in the cafe and what we do on a Sunday night with the Encounter congregation and what we do here on a Sunday morning. One of the things that I pray about more than anything is that it feels like a kingdom embassy. You know, if you go to London, you go into the United States embassy. As soon as you go through those gates, you tread on American soil. In the UK, don't you? You're abiding by American rules, American laws when you go through those gates. That's how an embassy works. And there's something of that's what we are. Do you know what I mean? If we are an embassy for the kingdom of God. When people interact with us, the whole idea is that they see what the kingdom's like. That's a big thing that we're called up in. Do you know what I mean? And on one level, this building, I mean, the building is nothing. Do you know what I mean? The building that God is building is us. We're his building blocks, and he's joining us together, and we are the temple. Do you know what I mean? But there's something about my prayer for this building is as people come in, they know they're walking on, this is kingdom soil. You find it when you're at work or at college or wherever you find yourself. You find when people find out you're a Christian and then they swear this. Oh, sorry. Do you know what I mean? Shouldn't do that in front of you, should I? But I think that's because we're modelling something. We are different, and people see it and they think, oh yeah, no, I shouldn't be like that around you. And that's what I think it is to be a kingdom embassy. Just this week, actually, on Friday, I went downstairs into the cafe and Paul Langford spoke to me and said, oh, Jim, meet this guy. And he'd just that moment given his life to Jesus in the cafe. So he came in and Paul started chatting to him and opened up some of the Bible with him. And the guy said, this is what I need. And they prayed for him, and he prayed. And I spoke to him, so how was that? He said, yeah, no, I prayed that prayer because I'm desperate for God. I need God in my life. I can't continue. And that's what we want, isn't it? That's what we want to be. We want, you know, this is so much more than how do we organise groups. do you know what I mean? We have got to organise groups, and we're going to. But it's a bigger thing, isn't it, that we're doing? Do you know what I mean? And one of the things that I think the Western Church has somewhat in its kind of like a stronghold in itself, you know, is this idea of consumerism. You know, we go to church, and is it a good one or is it not a good one? And of course, yeah, we want to belong to a decent body. Of course we do, but we don't go to church. We are it, aren't we? We know that, don't we? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And so I just want to encourage us that what we're doing here is of eternal significance, and it's massive. Do you know what I mean? It might not be massive. I mean, there's a lot of people away today, a lot of empty chairs. That's not the point. The point is that we're being built together to be a temple for God's glory, and we're the people of God on this planet. The only way that people of Worcester are going to find out anything about God is through us. From the beginning of time, God has been raising up a people. First of all, the Israelites. would raise up a people, and the whole point was to show them what God's like. Do you know what I mean? And he's raising up, he's gathered a people from every nation. So we have a global church of which we're part of, and it's diverse, and it's gloriously diverse, and we celebrate the different elements of the gloriously diverse church of Jesus Christ up on this planet. But then there's also a local expression of that. You know, we are a body. He talks about, doesn't he, at the end of that passage, Where were we? And in him, you two are being built together to be a dwelling place. So he's talked about the glorious church. He's talked about the people of God. But he's saying, you, Ephesians, you're being built together to do this thing. And so that's what we're about. He moves on then. He says that you're no longer foreigners. And he says, you're members of his household. So he's wanting us to think a slightly more intimate relationship now, isn't he? That members of a household is family. If you're a member of my household, you're part of my family, the Harper family. And we have an identity with each other. We are family. One of the primary ways that God has chosen to reveal himself to us. Now he's God Almighty. We're a bit like him. He's not much like us. All right? Okay? So, and he has identified himself to us in ways that we understand. One of the ways that he's identified himself to us is as a father. Yeah. And you know, as family. Do you know what I mean? And he said, when you pray like this, our Father. And he wants us to be, to think of that intimate relationship. He wants us to be in that relationship. Of course, he's not, you know, he's more than a dad. Do you know what I mean? He's omnipresent. He's magnificent. He's glorious in every way. But he is one of the most common ways that he's chosen to identify himself with us is, I'm your dad. Do you know what I mean? And there's that bit in Romans where it says, by the Spirit of God, we cry Abba, which is the daddy. And that's the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. But then alongside that, he's talked about us being co-heirs with Christ. Do you know what I mean? And Jesus, the Son of God, has inherited everything. Everything has been placed under him. Do you know what I mean? And we have been brought into his family, and we're co-heirs with him. Jesus is our brother. I think that is just mind-blowing. But I tell you what's also really mind-blowing is you're my brother. Because we are co-heirs with Christ. You know what I mean? So the relationship that God is calling us to have is family. He's wanting us to picture that. Now, how are we doing? Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know, family, of course, you know, is mixed. I'm going on holiday with my siblings in a few weeks to Portugal. And it's going to be interesting. So my one brother lives in Portugal, illegally in Portugal. If he came here, he'd get arrested on site, grows cannabis for a living. So that's going to be a fun holiday. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to, just to be clear. Do you know what I mean? But families are interesting, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? It's not always easy. We're talking about small groups. We met the other week, and we're talking about we're going to gather small groups. Of course, one of the problems with small groups is who turns up sometimes, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? But yet, God has called us to be members of his household. So when we turn up, And that person goes on about themselves all the time, or that person does this all the time, or that person annoys me, we're not talking about trying to divide groups with everyone that gets on with each other. We're talking about expressing what we are, which is the family of God. And we work it out. Do you know what I mean? And for us to do that involves closeness of relationship. It involves honesty. It involves genuinely knowing each other. You know, one of the things I'm asking myself, which is part of the reason we've been going on this journey of looking at community life a little bit, is who really knows you in this church? Do you know what I mean? Like, properly knows you. And who do you really know? And I promise you, if you're only here on a Sunday morning, there won't be many. Do you know what I mean? I love Sunday mornings. We should take care to maintain Sunday mornings and keep meeting together and so on and so forth. But if that's it, we're in the soup. Do you know what I mean? You can't really function as a family just on this. Okay? So we've got to figure out how we work out what we are. I'm not saying we've got to become this, because we are it. When you're born again, you're born into it. Okay? You're born into your family. When you got born again, you became my brother or sister. Sorry about that. Do you know what I mean? That's just what it is. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got my family and they're mixed. Do you know what I mean? But they are my family. When I was born into the world, they're my family, whether I like it or not. Do you know what I mean? And when you were born again, this is your family, like it or not. And so how do we express that and grow in that and make every, you know, it talks about making every effort to maintain unity. Well, I don't know, why would he say that unless it was going to be a bit tricky from time to time? Do you know what I mean? We have to make every effort. And you know, I know, you know, when we have challenges with different things in church life, and my first priority is always, how do we keep unity? Unity is so much more important than my opinion. Do you know what I mean? And you know, the thing with opinions is they come and they go, don't they? And they change and they're differing. But we are the family of God. And this is the picture that Paul wants us to understand. He goes on, he changes the picture now to buildings. And he talks about, let's go back to it. Members of God's household built on the foundation. Now he's giving us a building illustration. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the key cornerstone. I don't have a lot of time. I'm not going to talk about apostles and prophets. I think I did that a little while ago. And we'll do it another day as well. But to say Jesus is building his church on those gifts. Do you know what I mean? And I think those gifts were then. So the apostles and the prophets of the Bible, the ones that were writing scripture, had a unique call. They were eyewitnesses to Jesus, and they had a unique call to lay a foundation. Jesus said to Peter, "You are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." He was one of the key apostles from which Jesus built his church. Okay, but I believe that those gifts are at work today, and they are essential gifts at work today. We need to invite and have amongst us apostles and prophets that are growing up, that are keeping us moving forward. We need to have those apostles and prophets keeping us straight on our mission and outwardly mobile, don't we? If we don't have those gifts, we become stationary. Do you know what I mean? We become stagnant and we lose the nowness of the presence of God, and we lose the direction of the mission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. So we have to have those gifts at work. But more importantly, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. When you set out foundations, if you want to build a house and you set out foundation, they make a point that is a datum point. Okay, and they mark a point in the ground that's the fixed point from which everything else is built from. If they're wondering if the building's going straight, they can refer back to the datum point. Okay, so the chief cornerstone wasn't just a stone that things were laid on, although we do want to build a church on the rock, don't we? Yes, we do. And Jesus is the rock, but actually, he's the chief cornerstone is the one that you keep referring back to. Well, how are we doing? How are we doing in relation to the cornerstone? You know, if you were building a house now, you'd have a datum point. How are we doing? Is it going straight? Is it according to the plans? And we need to keep referring back to Jesus. Are we building like he built? Are we doing it like he did it? And quite frankly, after 2,000 years of church history, the datum point shifts a little bit, doesn't it? And there's some error. There's some stuff that's crept in that isn't helpful, that isn't good. And we need to keep referring back to the datum point. And the datum point is Christ Jesus. He says Christ Jesus because it was the man Jesus. He modeled in 3 years of ministry what we should be like and how we should do it. Didn't he? So we refer back to that. We refer you know, how did he make disciples? Well, one of the key, most important parts of being a believer is to go and make disciples, isn't it? Yes, thank you, Brian. Do you know what I mean? So are we making disciples like he made disciples? Because that's what you do when you refer back to the data. You refer back to the chief. Are we doing that? He broke social norms. Do you know what I mean? It was not socially acceptable for Jesus to speak to a Samaritan woman at a well. He broke the norm. Do you know what I mean? Are we pushing into that stuff? Are we pushing into the kinds of trouble that Jesus caused? Because he's the datum point. He's the chief cornerstone. Do we show compassion like Jesus showed compassion when he met a woman caught in adultery? Are we religious? Are we in the religious camp and we'll be thinking about all the things she shouldn't be doing? Are we judging, pointing? Or are we saying to Jesus, neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. I mean, that's our reference point. And we like him in our community, how we are. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Are we as leaders, are we developing servant leadership? Do you know what I mean? That not just leaders, but in everything that we do, are we serving like he served? Are we laying down our lives like he laid down his life? Because he's the datum point. When Jesus looked at Jerusalem, his heart was moved with compassion. And he saw people that were lost. He saw people that were helpless, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Do we feel that for the people outside the church? Do we look at the city of Worcester and are we moved like he was moved? Do we have the heart that leaves the 99 and goes for the one? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we've got, you know, in our Bible, we've got four accounts of this life. And all the other bits of the Bible are pointing to those that moment. Do you know what I mean? He is the chief cornerstone. And what we build must be built on how he built. And I don't know about you, I think we got a lot of work to do. Do you know what I mean? I think there's some stuff that needs to go on in here. but it's key, isn't it? This community is built with him as the chief cornerstone. He's the one that we refer back to. And it says the whole building, the fourth and final point, the whole building is joined together and becomes a holy temple. When you serve tea and coffee in a few minutes, when you do kids work, when you meet with, for those that are going to be a volunteer or be volunteered to lead small groups in this next season, it's coming. Do you do those things because you're building the temple? Do you know what I mean? Do you give yourself to that? Do you give yourself to your brother and sister as if you're building the temple? You are being built together like a living stone to be the temple of God. You know, Tristan, who many of you perhaps won't know, comes on our Sunday night service every day when the cafe's on. He stays afterwards and cleans the toilets. Do you know what I mean? He's building the temple. And he's doing things like, you know, it was a big deal for Jesus, the rabbi, to take off his outer garments and kneel at his disciples' dirty, dusty feet and wash them. Do you know what I mean? We have nice feet washing things, don't we? People have a little encounter with God and think, I'm going to wash your feet. I hate it because I'm really ticklish. Do you know what I mean? But that's not the point. It was a humbling serving. Their feet needed washed because they were sat right by each other having dinner together and their smelly feet were right by the bowl. it was a practical thing that needed doing. And you know, Peter was like, you know, don't wash. It should be us washing you. No, I want you to follow this example. I want you to serve each other. Do you know what I mean? But this is what it is to build the temple. And the temple, the original, there was two temples built, wasn't there? David built one, and or Solomon rebuilt it. And there's you know, that, there's a, that's, that for that for those people at that time, that was the place where God was. That was the place where the nations could see what God is like. Now, Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. He was a temple. He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, it will rise up again. He's talking about himself. Do you know what I mean? And his temple is now us. We are his body on earth. That's why he said, it's better for you that I go. Because now there is an expression of temple all over the globe. I'm going to visit our friends next week in the Middle East that have been over there. They're building the temple of Jesus in that place. Do you know what I mean? I've been reading a little bit about the site of the temple and different things. But it's not. There's not a site anymore. You notice that even the Jewish custom and religion haven't built another temple. There's not a site anymore. Because we are now building in the church time. We are now building the temple, which is glorious, which is made out of you and me. That is chief goal, is to worship God, to house the presence of God, and to show people what God is like. That's what we're doing. Do you know what I mean? You wake up in the morning and that's what you're about. And you do that as you're built alongside other Christians, other believers. The temple was very important for the people of God, as it is for us. Do not stop meeting together. That would be a ridiculous thing for the living stones to stay in a pile on their own. Be built with others. And we have to, in order to do that, we've got to do that in smaller gatherings as well as big gatherings. And that's what we're about. And we'll structure it in different ways, and there'll be times when we get it right and there'll be times when we get it wrong. But it's irrelevant. The point is, God is building us to be his temple. Isn't he? And that temple is to house the presence of God. Whenever we meet together, there should be something of the centrality of the presence of God. Is God in the room? Has it become boring? Has it become predictable? Well, let's do something about that, because we gather around the centrality of the presence of God. Is he evident amongst us? In the temple, there was celebration and there was joy. All the festivals that happened in the temple. It wasn't a solemn place, actually. It was a life-filled place. And they had festivals, they ate together and they had fun. And they went particularly to the temple for celebration. It was a place, actually, where justice and welfare happened for the people of God. They would come, bring their cases, bring their issues. And it went wrong because people lorded it over them. But the whole point was, it was supposed to be a place for justice and for welfare to happen. It's a place where the word of God was. Do you know what I mean? It's so important that we keep doing this, unpacking the word of God. What does it say? Now, this is a way of unpacking the word of God. To be honest with you, there are other ways. Jesus did do this way. He stood up and he preached. But other times he got his mates together and it says this. What do you think? Who do you say I am? Well, you're the Christ. He taught like that. And that's why we've got to do that, isn't it? And you know, opening up the Bible and what's God saying? A magnificently important part of the temple was the ark. And in the ark was the stone tablets, the word of God. And now in synagogues, you go to a synagogue now and you'll see there's a very important part of a synagogue, because that's now, they're rather than the temple, they have synagogues in different places. The scrolls are kept. I remember I was an electrician in Birmingham, and my landlord was a member of the synagogue, and he asked me if I'd do a job for them in their synagogue, and so I went, turned up, and what happens is that the scrolls are in this cupboard, and you open the doors, and the lights come on, and it's glorious. Only the lights didn't come on, so I had to fix them. But it's a place of the Word of God. Do you know what I mean? And so we gather around the word of God. What are you saying? And through his word, things happen. So it's vitally important that we keep digging in to the word of God. And obviously, one of the things that you would not be able to escape from in the temple was, I'm sorry about this if you're vegetarian, was the smell of sacrifice. Do you know what I mean? Because, I mean, it was a messy thing. Now, gloriously, the sacrifice has been made for our sins. Jesus has paid the price. We don't need to kill an animal anymore. But it wasn't just for the forgiveness of sins that they sacrificed. It was for worship, for devotion. And this temple is made up of people devoted. And a thing that you should smell in this temple is devotion. I mean, you can't smell it. You know I'm making a point. Do you know what I mean? And how are we doing? The sacrifice and the devotion to God. He is our chief. He's our Lord and our Saviour. So, that's what we're about, folks. Do you know what I mean? So when you get up in the mornings, be thinking about, right, I'm not just moving a few bricks. I'm not just doing this. I'm not, you know, I am part of the glorious living temple that is displaying to this planet what God is like. And I am bringing my devotion to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm working that out with my family, my brothers and sisters that have a new identity, a new nation, a new people. And I'm alongside, as I do that locally, that's very important that we get it right, that we do it locally, we also rub shoulders with other people that are doing it beyond. Do you know what I mean? So every Tuesday morning, we pray here with other leaders from other churches in this city. This week we've had leaders from the region come in to pray and meet with us. And we want to be involved, and we want to acknowledge the body of Christ is broad, big and wide. And we see the temple rise up, this glorious, magnificent temple made up from every nation, every people group, as we are together in a unified body of Christ globally. Then we see the glory of God. And it's when that temple is complete, when every nation is brought in, when the gospel has gone to every nation, and that temple is complete, Jesus will return and wrap all this up, and we will live with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth where there'll be no pain, no mourning, no death, no sickness. And we'll be with him. We'll not need the sun because he will be our light. Do you know what I mean? And that's what we're about. So I'm hoping through this text today we saw a picture. So let's not be thinking, right, who am I going to get on with? Do you know what I mean? Who does the kinds of things that I do and get on with? No, be thinking about who are my brothers and sisters that God is building me with that I can build this glorious, magnificent temple. Is that all right? Let me pray.